because one notices that the second goal is far, far, far more popular than the first goal. Budding scholars who want to start their MPhil, PhD, MS dissertation, if you ask the first question, why do you want to do it? Their most popular answer is, I want to improve education. I want to improve something in the system of education. And that is a very logical thing to have in mind when you are young, that you treat knowledge as a way to improve the world. Very nice. Wonderful. But if you engage with that question and say, will your research actually improve the world? Why do you think it will? Isn't it possible for you to improve the world without doing research? In fact, that's a more direct route. If you want to improve the world by education, why not teach? Why not create a new, a new book, a new television program? Why do research? Why take this sort of additional route in order to get to Colombo? Why go through Calcutta? Ask that question. The question doesn't easily register itself because education comes across as a place, as a field which seems to have a lot to do with improving the state of the world. That popular answer hides within it a certain problem that scholars typically face when they are young, when they think that education too is being argued as an academic activity, which is something that we grow as a discipline, and I'm being asked to do that. Isn't it much better to improve the world through education rather than worry about these goals of educational research as a discipline itself? It looks to them as a purely academic activity. Is there an academic thing called educational research which has a purely academic purpose? Is that what is worthwhile? A lot of scholars of education feel pretty disappointed. If education too becomes purely an academic matter of discussion, then why am I wasting time in it? Why don't I just do pure economics or pure physics or chemistry? And in fact, some of them do get dissuaded and decide to contribute to their own research. Why it is important to remind them that the ability or the capacity of education as a system to contribute to the world, its reality, depends upon its own growth as an academic subject. It's simply because its own tools, its own perspectives need to be refined. Education requires ideas, and those ideas cannot grow unless there is reflection on ideas for their own sake. That's the condition of creation of knowledge in any field, and there is no reason why education ought to be different. The only question is whether that pursuit of educational ideas can also benefit from some activities which we associate with education, such as teaching, or such as observing children, or observing decision making, and so on and so forth. But pursuit of the discipline of education alone can bring the realization that education has an intrinsic character. If those visitors that I had all those years knew that, then they would probably know as the first principle of education, that education is not a quick remedy for the world. Education is a slow and in most cases an unreliable remedy for the world. Education doesn't always work, and one must die, thank God. Otherwise, Hitler would still be among us. Otherwise, so many draconian schemes of education would have succeeded. India's colonization, people believe popularly, was driven by education, and it believed that the colonial masters of India wanted to use education as a means of subjugating and creating an army of enslaved minds. Well, they succeeded to some extent, but the same education was able to create people who fought for freedom. Education, outcomes of education are very unpredictable. Not only they're unpredictable, they take time to unfold. And it's in the unfolding that the intrinsic character of education lies. how the impact of education unfolds in a society. It takes time. About that, there can be no question. That is a slow-acting process. It's perhaps one of the slowest-acting aspects of any state action agency. It competes with culture, in fact. If you look at it purely from the point of view of social processes, anything that is slower than that will perhaps be cultural processes. But education itself, therefore, you know, feels quite comfortable when it's perceived as a cultural process. It's slow. How it moves is not very easy to notice when it's moving. It's evolutionary in character and continues to offer breaks and jerks. And if we knew that by studying education as a discipline, which would mean that we would study its philosophy, we would study its history in different areas of the world, to study its psychology, even if we are scholars of education and management, for example. If we studied its sociology, then we would know that. Then we would know that it's pointless to study the outcome of the bunch of textbooks. Then it's pointless to do surveys which prove that this year children's outcomes in mathematics are lower than last year. As far as I know, I was around in India last year. I'm around this year. Nothing much has happened. Why do a second survey at such a huge cost? If we do a survey every year, what are we trying to prove? Because nothing much can be proved by an annual cycle of surveys of the young. Unless very major interventions have been made, nothing much would be known. And even if they are made, if these interventions are such that they claim that something will happen within a year, then perhaps those interventions themselves need to be scrutinized very carefully. Because the seeds of education take a long time to blossom. And if some intervention has blossomed in such a quick manner that children of Madhya Pradesh have higher reading scores than children of Tamil Nadu, then surely there is a problem in our understanding of what those interventions are. Because there is absolutely no intervention that can be called educational intervention that manifests its outcome that quickly. And for that reason, the plea that we must wait for results of any significant policy intervention for a considerable length of time. We can perhaps study the impact of a new car on the morale of an emerging middle class quickly. You know, this class which was buying Maruti 800 is buying Sandero today, and we can study why Sandero is now the favorite of those who earlier had Maruti. These things can be very quickly studied. A car makes an almost quick impact. But can we study the outcomes of the curricular intervention that quickly? Or will it take a decade, perhaps 2 decades, for us to unfold in any manner which is going to be worthy of the impact? And this was my framing question. It's highly researchable. Yes, we can go around with a pen and pencil, a pen and paper, and do a survey of the outcomes of this intervention or that. So, yes, and we will find something or the other. No question about it. It's researchable because we have research too. Just as we think we have money, we can buy something, therefore we ought to buy it. But is it worthy of buying? Is it worthy of being done? That question of worth must refer to the intrinsic character of education. To the extent that we now know that intrinsic character as a result of the growth of philosophy, as a growth of sociology, as a growth of psychology, as a growth of history of education, we know that intrinsic character. We know that education moves very, very slowly and in a highly complex manner, and therefore we must study education as much with patience as with curiosity. And our research question must reflect this very complex interdisciplinarity of education, because this interdisciplinarity has to happen both among teams of people who are working together, as well as in the minds of people who want to study education. For that, we may need institutional spaces where there is room for that kind of interdisciplinarity, where people can talk together from different perspectives and see that if you're studying gender, there is a politics to it. There is There is an economy to it. There is philosophy to it. There's certainly culture and anthropology to it. But if the lone cultural anthropologist is trying to understand gender, well, something will be found. But it won't be of the value that it might have been. And for the sake of not just education, but for the sake of the growth of gender as a concern in anthropology. Because education as an institutional means itself will have to develop if we were to treat education as something that makes an impact on